Hi, welcome to the DeMartini Show, the podcast for philosophers, leaders, entrepreneurs, holistic healers, therapists, and coaches with a spiritual and growth mindset. If constant progress, making a difference, and leaving a legacy is important to you, then you're going to love this podcast with Dr. John DeMartini. He's a human behavior expert, and the knowledge and wisdom that he shares across all of these episodes is practical, and you'll be able to implement it immediately. And when you do, it'll give you a significant advantage in your life. Each week on the DeMartini Show, we address a new topic with Dr. John DeMartini. And in this episode, he talks about the transcendent mind and how by integrating the conscious and unconscious portions of your mind, you get to experience a transcendent, superconscious state of awareness. Before we get started, if this is your first time listening to the show, then make sure you click that subscribe button so that you're notified whenever we load new episodes. If you're a regular listener to this podcast and you value the content, then let us know by leaving us a review. Let me hand you over to Dr. DeMartini. This is a fantastic session, so if you love philosophy, get ready for some amazing insights. Enjoy.
In the Breakthrough Experience, I discuss two aspects of the mind, or two minds, or two aspects of the brain, depending on how you perceive this. Some scientists believe that there's just purely a brain. They're basically existential individuals that are basically empirical, and they're focusing on purely brain, neurochemistry, neurology, and they believe that the brain and all the mind functions can be purely explained by the brain. And that's what I call the immanent-minded approach, which is inseparable from brain tissue. And then there's also a transcendent mind. And this is Immanuel Kant, a German philosopher who depicted as the transcendental and immanent minds. And the transcendental mind was to access what he described as the ideal forms that Plato referred to. This is where there's things that deal with abstraction and conceptualization and living a really transcendent, amazing life. And I'd like to discuss that, because in my Breakthrough Experience program, I want to introduce people to a glimpse of what that possibility is. So if you got some paper or pen to write, I'd like you to take some notes and try to keep up with what I'm about to share. First of all, Empedocles, the philosopher, centuries before the time of Plato, believed that there was in the universe two major aspects, love and strife. He was the one that was responsible for the basic four elements that we have heard about that have influenced many philosophers of the ages, all the way to Carl Jung and his ideas, and fire, air, water, and earth, if you will. And he said, when the elements are integrated, you have love, and when the elements are disintegrated, you have strife. And Heraclitus, Heraclitus, whatever you want to call him, he believed that there were pairs of opposites, and there were always complementary opposites in the universe. And when they were joined together, you had sort of a synthesis of that, which was like Empedocles' idea of love. And I've been teaching the Breakthrough Experience for 31, almost 32 years. And I have been assisting people with my DeMartini method on taking the mind from the immanent state, which is judgment, to the transcendent state, which is love, through a process, a methodical, scientific, reproducible process to help a person, help an individual transcend their judgments and get on with their life. So get ready to take notes. So here we go. When you are filtering your reality through your senses, your senses deal with contrast and they deal with judgment. They can't perceive without that contrast. So the moment you are judging somebody and looking up to them with an infatuation, and you're conscious of the upside, but you're not conscious of the downside, you're conscious of the positives, you're unconscious of the negatives. You're conscious of the things that support your values or unconscious things that challenge your values. You awaken in your autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, and you seek it with an impulse towards it to consume it like prey, because you're looking at for anabolic purposes to grow the body. And when you do, you have split your full consciousness into conscious and unconscious halves. So you're not seeing what actually is there. You're seeing what you filter with your subjective biases there as a survival mechanism. Also, when you're perceiving somebody that you resent and look down on, and you're conscious of the negatives and unconscious of the positives, conscious of the downsides, unconscious of the upsides, conscious of things that challenge your values, unconscious of things that support your values. You look down on them and you activate the sympathetic nervous system, a fight or flight response, to avoid them with an instinct. So you have an impulse towards things you attract to and an instinct away from things that you're trying to repel from. So you're attracted with an emotion, an impulse, or repelled with an emotion, with an instinct. Now, whenever you do that, you're dividing full consciousness into conscious and unconscious halves. And this is because of, again, survival, and it's a subconscious bias, and it's stored in the subconscious mind, which then filters our perceptions and adds to our distortions of our reality. Our immanent mind, the one that is inseparable from the brain, the one that neuroscientists agree that exists, and no one would deny that, which is reflexive in nature, although sometimes complex reflexes, utilizes these contrasts and judgments to avoid and seek like an animal in the wild. So it's sometimes called our animal reflexive mind. This is the immanent mind. And as a result of it, we store all of those judgments in our subconscious mind, which is a fancy word electronically for all of the electronic imbalances of chemistry and balances of electronics in the brain in neuroassociative complexes. This is what we've called the subconscious mind. And it's stored there and will keep reverberating as noise in the brain until those are brought back into balance. Because these imbalances, where you're conscious of one, unconscious of the other, stored there. Now, each of you have probably had moments when you've been infatuated with somebody to such a high degree that you're blinded to the downsides, ignorant of the downsides, and they occupied space and time and mind and ran you. Or you've been so resentful to somebody, again, blind to the upsides, ignorant of the upsides, and so resentful that you couldn't sleep at night, you were so preoccupied, and they occupied space and time and mind. In the mind. So anytime you have an imbalanced mind and you divide your full consciousness into conscious and unconscious halves, which are stored in the subconscious mind, your noise in the brain is loud. And many times when people go into meditation and they got all this noise in the brain, it's vying for attention and all these things that distract them, all of those subconsciously stored imbalances are trying to find their other side to balance them out, to liberate the mind, to free it. And sometimes during the day, it comes together with ahas. And sometimes at night in dreams, these parts are trying to disc-scan and clean out the fragments that aren't integrated so you can actually rest at night and not age. Because all of these disorientations, these judgments cause aging. Because you store them in your memory and the compensatory imagination to compensate for that. And that memory and imagination adds the arrow of time, which is entropy, which causes aging. And this is the immanent mind in full force. And every one of us live that way at times. And nobody escapes that. And we have that in common with the animals. It's our survival model. We do it anytime we live in our lowest values and lower values, or attempt to anyway. And anytime we're not fulfilling our highest values, the amygdala comes online and we live with subjective bias. We store things and judge things, and it's a mechanism of survival. Because when we were out in the wild, we had to get our adrenaline going and we had to have bias in order to accentuate the infatuation with prey or accentuate the resentment to predator to get the adrenaline up, kicked up enough to be able to run after the prey or get away from the predator. So our fight or flight and our rest and digest sides are immanent minded reflexes there as a survival mechanism. On top of that, you might say ahead of that, accrued on top of that is a transcendent mind. And a transcendent mind is the one I've been working on since I was 18, ever since I read Leibniz's work on the Discourse on Metaphysics, and also Dirac's work on the integration of pairs of opposites. And the transcendent mind occurs and only awakens and only emerges when we have a perfectly balanced mind. And I mean a perfectly balanced equation in the mind. Because when we're conscious of the upsides and unconscious of the downsides, or conscious of the downsides, unconscious of the upsides, we're not being ourselves. Why? Because when we're looking up to something we're infatuated with, we minimize ourselves in turn. So if we exaggerate their upsides and minimize their downsides, we'll exaggerate our downsides and minimize our upsides relative to them. And we'll be too humble to admit what we see there that we put on the pedestal inside us. And that minimization is not our authentic self. And when we go look down on somebody and we're conscious of the downsides and unconscious of the upside and exaggerate ourselves with conscious of the upsides, unconscious of the downsides, we go into pride, and our pride is not our authentic self. So anytime we judge, we move out of inauthenticity. We move out of a state of certainty and we go into a world of uncertainty and persona, the mask that we wear, the facades that we wear, who we are, not the true nature. This is what personal development is about. Persona, personal, means mask. The real essential being is the integration of those two, but only get to be experienced or awakened when we have a perfectly equilibrated mind. And this is called equanimity or objectivity. And the moment we have a perfectly balanced mind, which is the purpose of the Breakthrough Experience Demartini Method, the purpose of that is to ask a scientific, reproducible, duplicatable series of questions to make you conscious of the unconscious, to equilibrate the mind and balance out the equation. And the moment you do that, and you have a perfectly equilibrated mind, an equanimity of the mind, an equity between you and other people, which is what the method is designed for, your heart opens. See, when you're looking up to somebody, you infatuate. When you look down, you resent. And many people confuse the dopamine rush of infatuation with love, which is not love. It's just a dopamine rush and serotonin rush. And the resentment they think is hate. They think these are pairs of opposites. But the reality is true love occurs when you synthesize this thesis, this antithesis, this proposition, this opposite proposition, and put them together. And the synthesis and synchronicity of those two states put in perfect balance. And the synthesis and synchronicity of pride and shame put in perfect balance, the elevated self-esteem and depressed self-esteem of your nature, the personas and masks that you wear, when they're perfectly integrated, the essential being, the soul, comes to the surface, the state of unconditional love. Because there's no conditions. So if you infatuate, there's a condition. If there's a resentment, there's a condition. But in a perfect equanimity, there's an unconditional state, the soul. That's why Henry James says, nothing of the senses will ever satisfy the soul. The only thing that satisfies the soul is thank you, I love you. When you have a perfectly equilibrated mind, you have thank you, I love you. And I've proven that in literally 100,000 people doing the Breakthrough Experience and also consulting in people. So the moment you actually equilibrate that by asking questions that make you conscious of what has been unconscious. So in other words, if you're infatuated and you ask a question, what is the downside? You're able to bring that polarity, which is above the mean, back into the mean. And that's called extracting meaning out of that experience that you're infatuated with by finding the downside. When you're resentful and you find out with your what you're unconscious of, you find the mean again, because you find the thing that balances it, which is the mean. So you're asking questions that make you conscious of the upsides. Your intuition is always trying to find the downsides to the up and the upsides to the down to try to get you into the center where you're transcendent. The transcendent mind is the authentic self. The transcendent mind is where you have certainty. The transcendent mind is when you're authentic, the real you, the unconditionally loving you. Now, every human being wants to be loved and appreciated for who they are. But how can you expect to be loved and appreciated for who they are if you're not even being willing to be who you are? So as long as you're proud, you're not being who you are. As long as you're resentful, you're not being, or ashamed, you're not being who you are. But when you're actually in the center, you're being authentic. And in that moment of authenticity, in a moment of grace, moment of love, moment of certainty, moment of presence, not past or future, memory and imagination, but the moment of presence, that's when you have the greatest certainty and the greatest potential to have your innermost dominant thought become your outermost tangible reality, your creator there.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
The whole purpose of the DeMartini method is to take whatever you've experienced that you've judged and stored in the subconscious mind, which weighs you down with gravitational entropy and ages you, and asking a series of very precise questions, scientifically demonstrated, to reintegrate those parts synchronously, where you are lightened up and radiantly certain with love and gratitude and presence. And you have an enthusiasm and an inspiration in there. You can live an inspired life. Now, you know, I rarely ever go through a presentation without talking about values. And so in this case, let's tie this together with values. When you live by priority, your highest value, and stick to the highest priority thing you can be doing moment by moment through the day, you have the highest probability of being objective. And objectivity means even-minded, neutral-minded, actually completely a balanced equation. When you are infatuated, you don't have a balanced equation. You're not neutral, you're subjectively biased. You have a confirmation bias on the positives and disconfirmation bias on the negatives. You have a false positive on the positives and a false negative on the negatives. So you're not seeing things as they are, you're seeing things as you have skewed them with a survival bias. But the moment you're balanced and the moment you live by highest values, where you're most objective, where you embrace pain and pleasure in the pursuit of a purpose, your highest value is your purpose. So every time we do the DeMartini method and every time we equilibrate the mind, we reawaken our purpose, we reawaken our mission, and we reconnect with our inspiration. We reconnect with the love of what we're here for. And we have an orientation of equity between ourselves and others. See, when we look up to people, minimize ourselves, we go into altruism and sacrifice ourselves for others and try to live in other people's values, which is futile and self-depreciative. And when we're resentful, we get self-righteous and proud, and we try to project our values onto them and get them to live in our values, which is, again, futile and not authentic. But when we have equanimity and balance, we have equity between ourselves and others, equanimity within our prides and shames are balanced, and we're authentic, and we live with the most power, because we're disempowered when we're disowning parts, when we're too humble to admit what we see in them is inside it's a disowned part, when we're too proud it's a disowned part. All the disowned parts we have are disempowering. But when we realize nothing's missing, I say in the Breakthrough Experience, at the level of the soul, the state of unconditional love, the authentic transcendent self, the immortal you, the timeless mind, ageless body you, that right there doesn't have the aging process. It doesn't have anything missing. Nothing's missing to the soul. At the level of the essence of the soul, nothing's missing, as the Bonpo Lama taught me when I was in Nepal. But at the level of the existence of the senses, things appear to be missing because we're too proud or too humble to admit what we see in others inside us. And we're trapped in judgment and strife, as Empedocles said, instead of love, which is radiance. Now, Immanuel Kant said, when we're in the immanent mind, we're in the phenomenological world by the senses, which are skewed with hallucinatory aspects. And we're not seeing what's really there, actually there. We're dealing with our own personal reality, which is individualized. It's our own hallucination of the world. But the moment we access the transcendental, we transcend that hallucinatory world. We access the ideal forms that Plato described. We access the transcendent mind, as Immanuel Kant says, or maybe William James is described about as the higher mind, not the lower mind. And this is the state which is full bouquet of expression of the human potential. Every week when I'm doing the Breakthrough Experience, that is one of the primary aims of the program, to give people a glimpse, to teach them the science, to show them how to duplicate that, to show them how to take, no matter what happens in their life that they've ever judged, there's nothing they've experienced in their life that they've judged that can't be turned into love and back into the immortal. There's nothing mortal that can interfere with the immortal visionary once they know the science of how to do so. That's been my mission all these years, developing the DeMartini method, to give people access to that transcendental. Majority of people go through their life living, reacting, judging from one next judgment to the next. They don't even know that this transcendence aware. They don't even know that it exists. They may have a glimpse of it, but they have no idea how to access it again. But there's a science to accessing it. There's a science of doing it. You can sit for hours and hours and hours and do meditation and maybe hit and miss it sometimes. And you might come out and maybe escape with it, but you won't integrate the information with certainty. Even Ken Wilber addresses the weakness of some of the meditative techniques for actually cognitively integrating the pairs of opposites. They are useful. They can be in conjunction with this tool, but you can merge those together into application. But learning this tool, the DeMartini method at the Breakthrough Experience, can be helpful in learning the transcendent state. The transcendent state is almost a mystical state for some people. People who've never experienced it, they go, whoa, I don't even know what to do. That's a spiritual experience for people. I've had people in the Breakthrough Experience where they've gone through the DeMartini method. They've judged somebody in their life that they've resented. It could be anything. It could be a partner. It could be somebody that raped them. It could be somebody that beat them. It could be somebody that bullied. It could be somebody at work. But they've been resentful to somebody or infatuated somebody, either pole, some hero or villain, doesn't matter. And we go through methodically asking questions that add reflection to the mind, that add ownership to the traits, that allows you to balance out the equation and dissolve the infatuation, resentment, dissolve the prides and shames, dissolve the labels that you have about them, which are subjectively biased, and actually break the fantasies and nightmares that you're storing in the subconscious mind, and then get present and see the synchronicity of opposites. So I discovered something 20 years plus ago, that at the exact moment something's happening in your life, the transcendental mind is fully conscious of the other side. We go through and we think there's an event that goes on, and we actually go, I ask people in the Breakthrough Experience, go to a moment where and when you perceive this individual that you're judging to be displaying or demonstrating some specific trait, action, inaction that you despise most, for instance. Okay, you're there, great. Where are you? When are you? What specifically are they demonstrating? What exactly is the focus of it, the context of it? And at the exact moment, who are they doing it to? Are they doing it to you? Great. At that exact moment, close your eyes and get present there. And you will blow your mind. Then you realize and discover that at that exact moment that you perceive that, your perception could not have occurred if it didn't have a contrast and there was something of the exact opposite nature going on at the same time. Now, if you only see one and not the other, you'll be infatuated or resentful. But if you see simultaneously both of them, you will be neither. And you won't let the immanent mind run you. You won't be impulsive and instinctual and distracted from being present with a magnificent moment of love at that moment. Because love is the synthesis and synchronicity of compromise opposites. And that's all that was there in that moment. When I do that in the Breakthrough Experience and show people that, their mind's blown. Because like, wait a minute. I've been running a story. See, people want to be victims of their history and run a story about how they've been hurt or how they've got this fantasy or whatever, infatuation. But these are incomplete awarenesses and they're judgments that weigh you down and they're stored in the subconscious mind and they cause you phobias of the future as instincts from things that were painful that you never saw the benefits to, or philias and fantasies that keep trapping you and hooking you. And that's what outer salespeople are looking for when they're hooking you. And as long as you have those, you're run by your external world. I said on The Secret, until the voice and the vision on the inside is louder than all those extrinsic sources on the outside, don't expect to master your life. Because as long as you're externally driven and blaming things on the outside or giving credit to things on the outside, you're not realizing it's nothing but a reflection of you. In Abhartha Thadal, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, at the moment of a person's passing, there's a message in there that says, At the moment of your passing, you'll be confronted by both peaceful and wrathful deities, but fear not, for they're nothing more than projections of your own mind. And what we do is we have things we infatuate and resent, the angels and the demons, the heroes and the villains, the saints and the sinners, the virtues and the vices that we project onto people, but they're really nothing more than projections of our own nature that have been disowned. And so what we realize that they are reflections and integrate them, we activate the superconscious mind, as some people call it, or the cosmic conscious mind, as Richard M. Bourque calls it, or the spiritual soul, if you want to call it that, or the transcendent mind. Many people have had different names. Some people call it the spiritual mind, the higher Akam mind, the higher Mana, the Hunas. All around the world, there's been different names for it. But that's a real state that's duplicatable, that's reproducible, that I can demonstrate, that I can show you, I can teach you how to do it. And it is profound because the authentic you is sitting there. And don't expect people to love you when you're not even being you. You're authentic you. When the ancient philosopher said, know thyself, the knowing your highest value, which is the telos, which is the thing that gives you objectivity and access to equanimity and access to the transcendental mind and access to the soul, that's what they're describing. That's the ontological essence of your being, that transcendent state. And it's the teleology when it says, know why you're here. You know, what's my purpose on the planet? Well, that's it. Your teleology, your telos is your highest value. It's the pathway of objectivity. It's the most efficient, effective pathway to fulfill the greatest amount of voids with the greatest amount of value. So if you want to have the greatest value, you want to make a biggest contribution, you want to go out and do something extraordinary, you want to be able to be yourself, you want to make the biggest difference being unique to yourself and not conforming and deluding yourself, then it's basically the path of equanimity and the transcendent mind. The immanent mind takes no effort. Any animal has got it. You got it. You have a survival mechanism. Anybody can live in survival. That's the lowest level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's down into got-tos and have-tos and needs, where you're living by the imperatives and the injected values of others. You're ruled by the superego of moralities from external hypocrisies. And you're not basically living authentically transcendent and creating the rules by design instead of living by duty. You're, instead of following the crowd, you're building and leading the crowd. I'd much rather lead the culture than follow the culture. I'd rather be the transcendent than the immanent. And Kohlberg in Psychology, talking about moral development, said that first you avoid pain and seek pleasure. That's the first morality. An animal has that. Then you have subordination to individual authorities, mothers, fathers, preachers, teachers. Then subordination to collective authorities, communities, cities, states, nations, mores, traditions, conventions. And finally, you have transcendence, where the authentic you is able to express itself and the transcendental mind is able to overrule the immanent mind. That is what I'm interested in. Now, it takes no effort to do the other, and no matter what you do, you'll always grow and learn by experiencing it. So you never completely get rid of it. You use it wisely because the immanent mind, the design of the immanent mind is to tell you what you haven't loved, tell you what you haven't balanced in your life, and give you an opportunity to now master that too. Benson's law says that anything we practice consistently and repeat consistently, we become skillful at, become masterful at. If we live by our highest values and delegate to lower priorities and be of service to other people in a state of fair exchange and sustained equity, we will automatically build equity, build assets, and accumulate the self-development and the love and the wisdom that nobody can take away from you. It can be accumulated and you can go on and do something with more profound leadership roles. The breakthrough experience that I teach for 1,109 times now is designed to give you that tool. So if you have not experienced the transcendental mind, or if you have experienced it randomly and had no idea how to reproduce it and create it and have it at any time in your life, come to the breakthrough experience so I can show you how to do that. Because it's a profound mastery of life when you get that. And there is a science to it. It's not a hit and miss. It's a reproducible, duplicatable questioning process that makes you cognitive, that's using neuroscience, it's using philosophy, and it's using psychology to its fullest to give you the fullest expression of your, if you will, the divine nature within you. When they said that human will now matches divine will at this point, this is what it's describing. Divinity is the full self-expression, the spiritual actualization, the transcendental inspired state that you have access to that is available no matter what the experience is, no matter what happens to it. It's nothing to do with that. We have control of our perception, decisions, and actions, and we can take whatever's happened in our life and wake up that transcendental. I've had people go through the most outrageous stuff. People have been through things that they want to blame people for. And there's nothing that you've experienced in your mortal body that you can't access the immortal soul and transcend.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.